Welcome to Kingdom Life Radio. This is Kenny Hewitt, and today we will be in part five on the series we've been in on the Kingdom of God. Last week we started looking at the Kingdom of God that Jesus came preaching in his day, and we're going to continue on in that topic, looking at the Kingdom of God as Jesus came preaching it. But before we get into today's program, I want to review a little bit of last week that's going to lead into this week. Now, by the time that Jesus shows up on the scene, the Jewish people had a well-developed expectations and hopes for the coming Messiah that they were expecting to come. You know, those expectations they had were developed, as I've said before, through the picture of the Kingdom of God in the Old Testament with Moses and the Exodus out of Egypt, through the monarchies of King David and King Solomon, and through the prophets who spoke of a coming kingdom, an everlasting kingdom that was going to come, and God would bring a king, and as Daniel calls him, the son of man who would come. And so there's this one who they were expecting, Messiah, who would come and bring judgment against all wickedness. Even as Daniel talked about, there would be one like the Son of Man who would come and pulverize and sweep away all sinners and all wickedness. And at the same time, this Messiah that would come would also bring all the blessings of the everlasting kingdom. There'd be a new heavens and a new earth, a new age. And so they saw this happening in one event, expecting that this Messiah would come and there would be an end of this age that we live in right now, with the judgment coming on the wicked and evil, and there would be a overthrowing of the government as they saw it, as Rome and Caesar, and that they would be put back in power again, and with that God's kingdom would come in its fullness, and a new age would start, the coming age. So those were the expectations that had developed in the Jewish people over the years of the Old Testament prophets and the stories of King David and Solomon and the Exodus. And so that's their expectation, and they're longing for this Messiah to come. And all of a sudden Jesus comes on the scene, and he comes on the scene, and he's doing the things that Isaiah spoke of. He's healing the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. And so Jesus is doing these things, and the people are wondering, is he the Messiah? Is he the one? If another one comes with the Christ, would he do more than this man is doing? The only thing is, he was doing the blessings of the kingdom that were to come, and see, he was preaching that the kingdom had drawn near, but this age wasn't ending, and neither was judgment coming. And they were wondering, what's going to happen? When's judgment going to come on the nations? When's that kingdom going to come? And even John the Baptist was wondering, as I said last week, he's like, okay, he pointed out Jesus, he's the Messiah, he's the Lamb of God, and he sees Jesus doing these things, but he's like, wait a minute, you're not bringing judgment. And he wonders, like, are you the one? So even John the Baptist was wondering if Jesus is the one. And Jesus is the one. He is the coming Messiah. He is the King. But he comes with a new perspective, a mystery. And when I say mystery, I'm not saying something they didn't know. It's something they didn't understand at the point when Jesus was bringing this new perspective of the kingdom. It was hidden in ages past. But now as Jesus comes on the scene, he's revealing there's something different. There's something new about the kingdom that they didn't understand. That this age is not going to close, but the kingdom is breaking into this current age before it actually ends. And there's two perspectives we see in the gospel that speaks of an entering of the kingdom both today and tomorrow. There's a future realm that we'll enter into, and there's also a present realm in which we can experience the blessings of God's kingdom, the blessings of his rule and his reign right now, in this age, and yet also in its fullness in the future age. What we have right now is not going to be the fullness of it. But as we see in Hebrews chapter 6, it speaks of those who have tasted of the power of the age to come. And that writer is speaking about that those in this current age are going to get a taste of an experience of what the future age has for us. And while we still live in this evil age, which Satan is the god of this age, we have the opportunity, those that are believers, we have the opportunity to experience and the taste of the coming age. It may not be the full banquet that we're going to get when Jesus returns. but it's a taste nonetheless. And with this is an understanding that this understanding of the not yet of the kingdom and already. See, it's already shown up in Christ. And it's going to show up in its fullness when Christ returns. And that brings us to the other important part of this new perspective. This is the second coming of Christ. He came the first time, and now he's going to be coming a second time where he'll bring the fullness of the kingdom. So we have these two manifestations of God's kingdom, his reign. And one is in power and glory that's going to happen at Christ's return. And also one that's present right now because the Son, Jesus, has already appeared. So while we live in this current age, the kingdom is broken in, and that future kingdom has reached back into this moment, in this time. And like they're running parallel at the same time, that the new age, the coming age, has already started, even as resurrection was a part of it, and Jesus being the first fruits. And we get to live within this current age, but also taste of the future age. And there are numerous New Testament scriptures that cause us to come to the conclusion that the blessings of the age to come no longer remain exclusively in the future for us, but they become objects of a present experience for us right in this age. So our salvation in Jesus Christ is not just a promise about something in the future, but it's an experience we can have right now in this age with the kingdom having broken in. I want to read a scripture from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In him, meaning in Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And one of the things, one of the tastes of the future kingdom, one of the experiences we have is not just forgiveness from our sins, but God has poured out his Holy Spirit, sealed us, guaranteeing us, the Holy Spirit being our guarantee, a deposit of what we have in the future yet to come, but also a taste of it now. And he comes to dwell with us. God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, comes to live and to dwell with us while we live within this current evil age, that we might experience the life of the kingdom, and the future kingdom that's going to come when Christ returns. We can experience that right now. So we're living in the between the times. We're caught up in this conflict of the ages of the now of the kingdom having broken in Christ in his first coming, and the not yet of the future kingdom coming when Christ returns. In this kingdom, it's near us, it's around us, it's on us, it's in us, but it's not complete yet. But nonetheless, it is still the kingdom. So we're living in this current age, caught up in a conflict of the ages, of the already or the now and the not yet. And with that, there's this contrast between the two ages that's going on right now. This age which we currently live within is dominated by evil, wickedness, and rebellion against the will of God. And the character of this age, it really bears the stamp of the evil one, the prince of the power of the air. And see, God's wrath rests against this age and the wickedness that's here right now. And this age, while it still goes on, will continue to be hostile to the gospel and the good news of God's kingdom. And the god of this age, Satan, who he's always at work looking to blind people's minds so that they don't see and believe the light of the gospel. And not only that, Satan's always at work trying to use the concerns and pressures of this age upon believers and intent on choking the word and making them unwilling to pay the price to be followers of Christ and to continue to follow Christ. Now in no way does it mean that God has been dethroned or that he's out of control of the universe. No, it's in God's providence that he's allowed this. And as it says in chapter 1, verse 11 of Ephesians, that God is sovereign and he is working all things, even what seems to be evil, seems to be out of control. He's working all things according to the counsel of his will to bring about his purposes. Let's read Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4. And it says here, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. So how can we live in this current evil age and be delivered from its power? It's by the power of the age to come, the future kingdom, the complete kingdom that will come when Jesus returns. It has already reached back and it inserts itself in the person of Christ into this present evil age. And so we, by the power of the age to come, we are to be delivered from this present evil age. And I'll read Colossians 1, verse 12 through 13. It says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness, from the power of the evil one, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And then Second Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, read it says, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. See, so how can we live in an evil age and be delivered from the power? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and gave his life, and then after resurrection and ascension, he poured out the Holy Spirit. And the powers of the age to come break into this current age and deliver us from the current evil age. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So how can we live in the midst of this current evil age right now and not be conformed by it or to it? By the power of the age to come, reaching back into this current age and making it possible by the power of the Holy Spirit for us to experience a new power that brings freedom, brings power, brings deliverance, brings inner transformation. So while we live in this current evil age, the age to come, the powers of the age to come, have come and taken up residence in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we get to experience and taste of that kingdom right now in the midst of an evil age, delivering us from the power of the evil one and keeping us from being conformed to it, that we might be transformed to be more like Jesus. So as we live in these in-between times, caught in the conflict of the ages, in the already and the not yet, here we have the Holy Spirit who has come to live in us. And he is the guarantor, the deposit God has given us to ensure us of what we will experience in the future in fullness. But right now, he's also a guarantee, a deposit in us, guaranteeing that God is going to continue to work in us to bring that transformation in us to be more and more like Jesus until he returns. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 through 26. It says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So here we see, as we live within the conflict of the ages here, and death is still something we all have to face. But the last enemy, death itself, will be destroyed. But let's look at actually Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. It says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he, Jesus, himself likewise partook of the same things that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. See, Jesus came, and through his own death, he destroyed him who has power over death, the devil. See, the resurrection of the dead is an aspect of the age to come. It's something the Jewish people expected at some point. From the promises of the Old Testament prophets, they expected there would be a resurrection of the dead, of a mass resurrection of all people. And so that was an aspect of the age to come, where this age would end and this current age end and a new age would start. And so the age to come has already begun, in that the resurrection has already begun in Christ. He's the first fruits. So he's the start of that new age. And then at his coming, the rest of us will be resurrected. So we're really living on the heavenward side of this age. John chapter 5, verse 24. Let me find that here. It says, and this is Jesus speaking, and he's teaching, and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. We've already passed from death to life. We've already passed over that judgment. We are living now on the heavenward side of this age. We're living in this current age, but the new age has already started for us. We have experienced the beginnings of the resurrection through Jesus. He's the first fruit, and we at his coming will be just like him. Remember, he says he destroyed the devil and released us who, through fear of death, were lifetime subjects to bondage and slavery. Now, that word destroyed there in Hebrews, it talks about he destroyed him who had power of death. And we think of that word, and we hear that word destroyed, means like he annihilated him, he's gone. But the Greek doesn't really mean that. That word destroyed there in the Greek means to put out of action, to render inoperative. So Christ's death, when he gave his life for our sins, it did something that was a defeat for Satan, in that his activity, his power, was in some real way curtailed. It was rendered inoperative. And the cross was the initial defeat, with ultimate defeat complete at the end of this age when Jesus returns. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, it reads, and he, Jesus, went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And here Jesus, the King, comes proclaiming the kingdom. The kingdom has broken into this current age. The future kingdom has broken into this current age as we see Jesus coming. And with it, he brings healing. He brings aspects of the future kingdom into this current age. And the blessing of the future kingdom are experienced by those in this age. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 23, or actually 21, we'll start there. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. That unclean spirit is a demon. And he cried out, what have you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. An unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him, and they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority commands even unclean spirits or demons, and they obey him." Let's read Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 through 29. It's where the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub. And it reads, "Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, Jesus, and Jesus healed him, so that the man spoke and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, 'Can this be the son of David?' But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons.' Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house." What is the gospel of the kingdom? What is the good news of the kingdom? What is the announcement of the kingdom coming near? It is God in Christ, who is now acting among men to deliver them from the bondage to Satan. It's not just a promise for us in the future. It's an experience and a blessing we can experience right now in this current age. Jesus having power over demons was a disclosure that the powers of the age to come, the future age, have invaded this present evil age. It was proof that the kingdom that belongs to the future had broken into this current age. Satan is at work trying to blind the minds of people so they don't see the gospel in Christ, and trying to hold them in bondage. Yet God's kingdom is active right now, and God is attacking the powers of darkness and Satan himself. Now I'm going to read Matthew 12, 29 again. It's a very important verse in the New Testament here. And it says, "Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house." See, Satan is the strong man, and his house is this current age, this evil age. And the strong man's goods are demon-oppressed men and women in this current age. And Christ is the strong man, and he has come and he has bound Satan and has accomplished a defeat of Satan, that his power is broken over men and women. And we read in Luke chapter 9 where Jesus sends out the 12, and he sends them out saying, "Go preach the good news of the kingdom, heal the sick, and cast out demons." And then also in chapter 10, he sends out 70 this time, and he tells them to do the same thing. Go do the same thing that he was doing, and that is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, and casting out demons. And they come back, these 70 come back to Jesus and say, "Even the demons are subject to us." And Jesus says, "I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven." So Jesus saw in the ministry of the 70 that were going out delivering men and women from bondage to Satan, he saw in them, their ministry, the fall of Satan, that Satan was being thrown down from his place of power. See, the mystery of God, the mystery that God has disclosed here for the first time, this new mystery Jesus is unfolding, is that the kingdom is in stages. It's not going to come where this age ends and the next age begins. This age is continuing to go on, and the future age has actually broken in. The world will experience the future coming of the kingdom with power as it's been promised sometime in the future, and it's being its fullness. But this kingdom, this future kingdom, has come and is at work right now in men and women in unexpected ways. And the power of the kingdom has invaded the realm of Satan, which is this present current evil age. Satan has been bound. He's been cast from his position of power, and his power has been destroyed. It's been curtailed. The blessings of the Messianic age, the future kingdom age, are now available to those who will embrace the kingdom of God. we may already enjoy the blessings resulting from this initial defeat of Satan. Yes, the kingdom has come near and is already present with us. The power of Satan has been broken that men and women may know the rule of God in their lives. As the evil age goes on, the power of the age to come is available to men and women right now. Jesus came in the very beginning of Mark, it says, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news or the gospel. If you're hearing this today and you're wanting to embrace the kingdom and experience the reality of salvation that's in Christ and taste the powers of the age to come, respond to Jesus. It's as simple as turning from who you are, what your pursuit is, and allow Jesus to be the king of your life and believe in the good news that he came to give you life and life everlasting. If that's you, then just respond. And if you want, you can reach out to me on my website at letyourkingdomcome.com. That's letyourkingdomcome.com. And leave a message for me and I can reach out to you. But also I want to extend an invite to those who are believers or who are maybe have really kind of strayed from being, passionate about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." See, coming to Christ, if you've known Christ and you know Christ, and just as those 70 that were sent out after the 12, those 70 disciples, we don't know the names, they were just believers in Christ, just like you are. And they were sent out to do the same ministry, to bring the light of Christ to those that were in darkness, and bring the reality of the kingdom, the future kingdom, to bear on people's lives in their communities, where they lived, where they shared life with people. That's what you're called to do also. You once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Do what's pleasing to him. And that would be bringing the kingdom to others, that others might experience the reality of the powers of the future age and come to know the good news, the gospel of the kingdom that came in Christ and is available today. So your light, go and bring the light to those in darkness. That's your mission. That's what you're called to do, called to be. The kingdom was not just a ministry for Jesus and the 12 or these 70. It's for the church. And if you're a believer, you're a member of the church. And you're called to be light in the darkness. As we come to a close today, I want to encourage you, if you want to listen to, if you want to hear this message again or the series, you haven't listened to the early ones, you can go to my website at letyourkingdomcome.com. That's letyourkingdomcome.com. And you can peruse the website and see a variety of different teachings and messages there and listen to whatever you want to there. And also you can subscribe to the podcast so you can hear the radio programs anytime it comes out. But until next week, I pray that God's blessing be on you and you experience a taste of the power of the age to come. God bless.